I want to read to you from Ephesians chapter 2 as we get ready to study with our friend Jesse this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, one of the interesting things about the way that the writers of the Bible write is that they weave themes. They'll start out and they'll introduce a theme, and then they'll come back around to that theme later and again and develop it more. And I think that's what's happening in Jesse's passage in Ephesians chapter 4, is that Paul is developing themes he spoke about earlier. I had Jesse in a panic back there because he thought he was preaching Ephesians 2, which he's not. He's preaching chapter 4. It's just interesting the way that Paul weaves these things together. Chapter 2, we'll start at verse 14. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when, in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross. And our hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made a part of his dwelling, where God lives by his Spirit. Jesse, why don't you come on up? Excited to hear from Jesse. Now, preaching is great work. I really enjoy that you've called me here to do this. But I also don't have a full-time job on the side and a growing family, shall we say. So, Jesse, thanks for putting in the effort, the work to be here to share with us. Let me pray for you as you start. So, Father, we just commit to you, Jesse. And, Lord, I pray that you'll just set him at ease, that knowing that your Spirit does this work. And let our hearts be enriched and strengthened and fortified through it. And we ask this through the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
I freaked out a little there when he said Ephesians 2, and I thought, oh, goodness. The Rona glasses got going, and the fog was just, like, thick, you know. Anyways, I'm here. We're right. We're good. So, anyways... we've been going through the book of Ephesians, and now we've come to me this Sunday, and Dan gave me the reins. Like he said, I'm doing a full-time job, so, ooh, you're brave. Anyways, I'm reading from Ephesians 4:7-16, so I'll let you turn there now. The book of Ephesians is clearly about unity. This is the whole purpose of God's word, to be able to see what God wants his people, to be unified, which is becoming more and more challenging these days. We have the most information available at our fingertips, our phones, yet we are more divided about God, faith, and just life in general. And the Bible has plenty to say about how we conduct our lives as part of the family of God. In this time we have, let's consider what it means to be a Christ follower, why it's so important to be unified in the gospel, and in this passage, especially the way we accomplish this, the tools we need, as it were, gift to God's church. So how about we start by giving you the actual verses? That way you can be familiar with what I'm talking about. So Ephesians 4, starting at verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. In saying that he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who has descended is the one who has also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the whole body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Well, there we go. Well, I don't know how many times you've read this. I know I sure have. It's familiar to me. And when I started diving into it, I didn't know how much I actually did miss. Hopefully, you can walk away knowing today something new and apply this to your life, or maybe God can convict you into faithful living. I am hopeful that God has a message for each one of us here and on Zoom. Don't worry, peeps, I haven't forgot about you. Represent. Well, that's enough stalling and I need to get to my message. So, of course, my natural progression is to start with verse 7 and move my way through the passage. So I'm just going to read it out again. But grace was given to each one according to the measure of Christ's gift. Grace. That amazing constant that God gives us throughout his word and his faith to us. I came across an analogy when I was studying about Christ's measure of grace. Pictures Christ standing in a great sea. We, as believers, are many vessels, and Christ fills us up to where we can handle. And yet there is far more water available. This was interesting for me in that there is an infinite amount of grace for a finite amount of us. This grace enables us to do work of ministry, which builds up his church. And the way I understood it, God's grace is working and active, which to me is very encouraging. Now, when Paul talks about Christ giving to his full measure, he does not mean that one of us is more saved or not, or that selected are more than anyone else. It simply means, at least the way I understood it, that God gives special ability to certain individuals for the equipping of the saints. I have more on this to come. So here is something special I did not see before. You ready, Bible nerds? Grab those highlighters that don't bleed for the page. You know what I'm talking about, or not. Maybe I'm just a nerd. Christ here is the one who is giving the grace, the gift as he sees fit. I found that pretty cool that Christ felt so compelled to give this gift that he did it so himself. Or maybe I'm reading into this way too much. So what is the gift? The gift is likely to be the apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and shepherds, or pastors as we call them today. I say this because of the verse later on in the chapter, Christ gave these to the church for her growth. Now, we often see the gifts of the church being individual, that all receive their special gifts. This enables us to build up the body. Think of gifts of administration like Kina. I do not share this gift. I think God actually took it away from me. So, Kina, you are seriously appreciated wherever you are. But we are not talking about individual gifts here. We are talking about an intentional gift to instruct and watch over the body, to shepherd it, to enable the body to grow in understanding of God so the body grows. Now, this concept of God's gifting is not new. Paul gives a snippet from the Old Covenant, from Psalm 68:18. And the Ephesians passage is, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. Now, there is a small difference between the Ephesians passage and the Psalms passage. It says, you ascended on high, this is Psalms, leading a host of captives in your train and receiving gifts among men. Did anyone catch that? Anyone? Yell it out. I know Dan knows it. Go ahead. There you go. Yep. See, in the paraphrase that Paul gives, God gave gifts to his people. In the psalm, it says he receives gifts from men. Now, this may seem like a small point, and it just might be, but this is the picture of the conquering Christ. Paul looks to what already has happened, while the psalmist is looking to what is going to happen. Paul has confidence in what Christ did on earth. He knows firsthand what he accomplished, his redemptive work on the cross. It also said he'd led a host of captives. I never understood the saying until I dug a little deeper. Reads more like he took captivity captive. Think of an old general taking prisoners after a hard-fought battle. He took hold of sin and death. He was a victor in it. Now he is able to give gifts that defeat these captives. That's why we are able to have victory over them, because Christ had the victory on the cross. That's fantastic news, isn't it? Now, moving on, we see what his goal was. Verse 9, and saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Yep, sure. So what is he trying to say here? Well, on face level, he is saying that Christ descended into earth first. This was the time of his ministry, his life, simply his time on earth. The Father had a plan for him, and he followed it in his daily life. And yes, that is where the gospel comes in. He came to earth to live a perfect life, so that he might die in order to be the only way to pay for our sins, or as we call it, substitutionary death. He took our stead, died and rose from dead to conquer sin and death, leading a host of captives. And then he ascended, completing his mission on earth. Then says he ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. He is filling the whole earth with him and us as well. He accomplished his work so that we may do this. He is able to fill all things with his love. We as Christians span far and wide. We are to be able to be filling all places so that Christ may dwell in all places. And in doing so, we are becoming more and more like him. How do we do this? Well, this is why I like Paul. He doesn't just leave us with what might happen. He leaves us with how we can do it. If you missed the rest of this passage, I want to leave you with this next part. As we move our way through this text, we can't miss this. Verse 11 to 13. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is the gift that Paul talks of in verse 7. Christ gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So Dan, he's a gift. Colin, he's a gift. And begrudgingly, myself, I'm a gift, although sometimes I don't feel like it. Some who travel from place to place proclaiming Christ. Nowadays, this looks like podcasts, YouTube, and Instagram. We call them influencers. There are those who have gone before us and those who are current. Christ gave proclaimers and teachers as a gift to the entire church. This isn't the gifts we see, as I have said, in Romans or in 1 Corinthians. Those are individuals, gifts that build up the church, of which every Christian receives. Although they are necessary, that is not what we are talking about here. This is a gift that is not given to everybody. Although the gift as a whole is given to everybody. Maybe I just confuse more people. They are God's gift to the entire church, the people who are able to teach, shepherd, prophesy, proclaim. This is to equip the saints. Who are the saints? All of us who bear the name of Christ, or commonly referred to as Christian. How are we equipped exactly? The equippers, as I am going to call them, are responsible for being able to help us understand what the Bible states, how it applies to our lives. We desperately need these equippers. Now, more than ever, there is, as I said, so much information in our world, available at our fingertips at any time of the day or night. Yet there's so much confusion. We don't know who is telling the truth or who is completely fake, and most dangerous of all, those who are almost right. The equippers show us how to live our lives, how to walk, how to talk, how to read Scripture correctly, how to listen to the Spirit, and along with that, be able to root out false teachers, how to treat others, how to take care of those who cannot take care of themselves. I think of COVID right now. How are we taking care of our neighbor? The Bible is telling us we need to take care of our neighbor. This is called the walk. This is the passage that Dan spoke of last week. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling. That is, we share together in the faith to build up the body of Christ in unity. I don't know if it's been used or not, but I want to use it. There is an African proverb, or at least that's where we understand it to come from, that states, if you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. This is a great saying that I do love because it shows what Christ talks about. We so miss this in our individualistic lives today. We are celebrated for doing things on our own. We are told from a young age, you're going to have to figure that out on your own. I'm not saying that this can never be true, but much more often than not, we tend to think this way. It bleeds into our very lives. This is not the way that God designed life to be. He wants us to help one another, to build up one another in love, to struggle together. This is the struggle we face as the fix are battling cancer. My heart aches for them. I know I'm not the only one. My heart goes out to you, and my prayers have been with you. The thing that shocks me the most is that while they received the news they have, they are still the strong ones. I've watched them, and I've seen the trials they endured. Instead of wallowing in their sickness, they are bearing witness to all of us. They have been a huge testament to me. I know they have bad days, but every time I talk to them, I'm the one coming away encouraged. I'm strengthened. I'm proud of them. And we must continue in our support of Will and Carol, in our prayers and in our deed. Thank you for your faithfulness in Christ. Excuse me. So I'm going to continue in these verses. Verse 12 talks about the ministry that we are in. And let me be perfectly clear. Ministry is all of our responsibility. This is something I've missed many times before. We're trying to equip all Christians for the ministry. I am in ministry. Dan is in ministry. Tim is in ministry. Howard is in ministry. James, you're in ministry too. We do this when we're at work. Penny, too. She felt left out. Oh, the ladies. Sorry, ladies. This is not sexist or anything. Everyone. We do this while we're at work, hanging out with friends, taking kids to school. Literally every interaction we have with anyone is our ministry. This also doesn't mean that as teachers or shepherds, we are exempt from this ministry. We are all in our own unique ministries, but God gave the mandate of equipping the saints so we are able to share Christ with our co-workers, neighbors, friends, and acquaintances for the building up of the body to mature manhood. This mature manhood is coming to a complete person, Imagine a child as he or she grows up. There are many misconceptions as a child that we get stuck on. We don't understand the world or what makes what things what. Think about the first time you understood that your parents weren't always parents. That took me by surprise. What do you mean? And I hear my kids asking these same questions. As we grow, we get a better understanding of life. God wants the whole body to grow, not just our individual selves. Growing is one part. While not sharing with the rest of the body, it's actually self-harm, harm against the body of Christ. This is why I find it so impressive that Paul includes the next verse, because it is a natural progression. Verse 14, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Even he knows that in this day, keeping close to God is not as easy as we think. He knows we are able to be swayed in our thinking. This is a great warning, especially for new Christians. The enemy wants to distract you and keep you infantile in your faith, so it is easy to deceive you, so God is not able to minister through you. When we are young in our faith, we will no doubt encounter some different ideas of what we must do as Christians. The imagery of us being tossed to and fro by the changing waves reads that of a captain who doesn't know how to safely pilot his vessel. Just uncontrollable maneuvers, often choosing the worst paths, not trained adequately. And that ends up in disaster. He warns in 2 Timothy as well, and I want to quickly read that. 2 Timothy 2:14. Remind them of these writings and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth, but avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. This is talking about those in the church, which makes this even more troubling. So again, I tell you, we are working very hard at getting this right. I have to go back to 11 and 12 and point out that the gift is correct teaching, prophecy, oversight, and shepherding. We need to understand the word. It is extremely relevant for today, and we have to understand that. There is ultimate truth in the word of God. Especially when we see a culture that doesn't value the truth, we must stand firm in truth. That is why we take a lot of time to make sure we are getting the words of this book right and applying it to our lives. We work so that all of us can understand this book, so we can be a light in our culture and be able to, in turn, to be able to build up the body in truth. If we do not teach his word correctly, we are severely handicapping the body. When we grow in understanding, we are able to avoid false teaching, to avoid bad Christian behavior that is dangerous to us. And yes, there is a certain behavior that we as believers must adhere to. Why is this so important, though? Really, like, if we are saved, what is the point? Again, we do this so that we are able to build up the body. Our personal growth actually grows the body as a whole. They go together. That is, every time God reveals a change that must take place in our lives, and we do it, the whole body is changing. It's growing, no matter how big or small it may seem. We are part of something much bigger than ourselves. That is why we have been saying so much about unity and what Ephesians is actually saying about unity. That is why we must get the words of the book of the Bible correct. The instruction and the context for the body, the unity. Now, as we're getting to the end of the passage, just hold on a little bit longer. I want to read you the rest here, 15 and 16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are able to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We are growing up in Christ. He is our example and our goal. He is the source of life to the church, the head of the body, guiding our every move, not separate from us. We cannot follow Christ, but we can affect the body. That is why 15 talks about speaking the truth in love. Well, folks, I am not good at that. I'm going to be honest here. Speaking truth. I'm learning to do that. Take my children, for example. No matter how much they drive me nuts, I love them, but I often speak to them harshly, telling them they need to do this or that. I often fail to explain why it's good for them or why the behavior is an indicator for the sins in their little lives. I often just want them to have good attitudes without trying to change their hearts. I often don't notice it, but when I do notice it, or most likely Rachel notices it, I try to change myself and my way of thinking, trusting that God will be faithful. The truth is the word of God. Not that we disconnect it from a personal relationship with Christ. We need to understand the word and also be able to have the love of God that permeates us, permeates our lives. We often get stuck on a knowledge of God, but don't feel his love or understand what his love is capable of. This also takes time. We know that it takes time for kids to grow and understand things of life. That is why parents feel the burden of teaching their kids the right way of living. And that's the picture of what Ephesians 4 is speaking of. Speaking the truth in love follows what the beginning of this chapter tells. Being able to walk in a manner worthy of the calling into which you were called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That is more than just speaking truth, which we must do, but to speak truth in such a way as to build up and not tear down. Patience, which I'm not great at. When we do this, the body grows up and is equipped for the work of love, the work of Christ. Paul again uses imagery that just fits. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So now in closing, I would like to review the gift God gave us. God gave us the apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, shepherds, or pastors as we know. He gave the church these people to be able to understand and point to the truth of the Bible and of God. So we all get involved in our ministries. When we get involved in our ministries, we are building up the body of Christ with him as our head. When the body functions correctly, it is able to show God's love and be able to speak correctly of his love, showing this love to the world. This then leads others to notice and join Christ, which is always our aim, to be able to point to Christ and his work to save us from sin. This then strengthens the body, again bringing it to maturity, to full maturity or growth. So thank you for being gracious and listening to me and what I have to say this morning. And I hope you learned something different or emboldened to go out in the world with the fantastic news of Christ. Have a blessed Sunday.
Thanks, Jesse. That was brilliant work, wasn't it? I love that. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. You know, that little piece, just really grateful for you, Jesse. That little piece about giving gifts versus receiving gifts. What you have is a picture of a conquering king who takes over a land. And in the kingdoms of this age, when they take a land, forgive the language, they rape and pillage. They take for themselves. But this king is different, right? That's the beauty of this. This king doesn't take away our young people to serve him. He gives them to us to serve us, right? And it's a magnificent picture, right, of Megan Douglas serving the church, teaching us about race and immigration. It's a brilliant picture of Katie Elliott serving at the camp, Dan and Chelsea Zylstra, right? God giving back a conquering king who gives to the conquered in a beautiful way. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful passage today. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. That's what God is doing in us. Let's pray. Father, we receive this good work to us through our conquering king. And with joy, we receive these gifts. Give us eyes, Lord, to practice these gifts well, to steward, to be a blessing where we go. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I haven't said this recently, but it's really important. If there's someone you haven't seen in a while, give them a call. Yeah, we're kind of headed back into COVID no man's land again, it seems. Cases are rising. Things don't look that great. Give your neighbor a call. Look out for them. Ask them how they're doing. It's really important that we persist in these good habits. Now, friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.